Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I thank you for joining us today in our Bible study. And like I said, this is the ABCs of Christian Growth, so if you need the ABCs and you need the simplicity of Christ and to learn what the Bible says, then you're in the right company. I hope that the Lord has been kind to you, and if you know the Lord that I know, then He has. And I hope your family's doing well and that you're all in health and that you're prospering. And as we wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to return, and that's what we're waiting for. That's what the majority of the scriptures are written for, is to tell us they're not written for salvation. They're not written for baptism. I mean, they are written for it, but that's not the priority of the scriptures. The priority of the scriptures is to tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return and His second coming. And that's what that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be concentrating on now, is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're waiting on. Today we're going to go into study number 8, and it's a brand new letter. We're going to talk about the letter H. And it's going to stand, our subject is going to be God, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And we're going to learn what the Bible has to say about the person of God, the Holy Ghost. And He indeed is a person. He is the third person of the Godhead, and we're going to see that in the scriptures. There's going to be a lot of scripture to look up and to write down. I hope you got your pencil and paper. If you don't, go ahead and get it. And if you want, and write these things down. If you would like to have these studies, and I don't want to overdo the reminder of this, but if you want these studies in, or a particular one, or all of them, whatever you would like, if you want these studies in written form, I have them all in written form, and I can email them to you or mail them to you or however you want them. But they're good to have, and especially the whole study A through Z, because then Christians have a hard time having study material to sit down, and the devil fights us so much to sit down with our families and just do a Bible study. And these things are so convenient. They're the ABCs. You can get your children and sit down, and you can teach your children. You can teach your teenagers. You can teach adults. You hear how they're put together. And all you have to have is your Bible. And you just read right through the study, and everybody listens, and everybody gets a chance to read Scripture, and everybody just has a wonderful time, and God the Holy Ghost will bless it, and you'll learn these things about the Scriptures. So we'll get into God the Holy Ghost today. Now, the first thing that we want to know is that, or that we want to think of, is that there's a whole lot of confusion about the Holy Ghost in the world today. The Holy Ghost is spoken about quite a bit. I mean, you know, when you get into Christendom and all the different religions, and you hear the names of God and you hear about all the things, you don't normally hear about people talking about the Father as much, and I don't mean any disrespect to the Father or the Lord Jesus Christ, but the majority of religions, they make a major, and your cults, they make a major on the person, on God the Holy Ghost, and especially the charismatics. Now, I don't know if you are a charismatic or if you have anything to do with that, but I'm not against I'm against what the Bible is against. And what we're doing in this study is this is not going to be the only study, but we're going to get into some subjects that might offend some people out there. And that's not my intentions, is to offend you, but if the Word of God, that's why I'm coming at this with the Word of God, because it's not what Brother Thurman thinks. Brother Thurman's not telling you what he thinks. Brother Thurman's telling you what the Bible says. And the thing about it is we talked about when we very first begin this study is that you need to come to God believing that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And remember, I said that if you're coming at this study to make a fool out of God and just take God like a banana and peel off what you want and throw the rest away, and you disagree with the Lord about some things, well, that's between you and the Lord. That's not between you and me, because I'm giving you the Scripture, and I believe it because that's what the book says, and I believe what God says. Now, I've invited you and give you an invitation that if you hear anything that you disagree with and you think I made a mistake on, then you get a hold of me and you let me know. And if I did make a mistake, I'll publicly correct that, because I want to believe the truth. But if I'm reading according to the Scriptures, and the Scriptures plainly say what the Scriptures say, and you disagree with the Scriptures, that's between you and the Lord. And I hope that you will decide to agree with the Lord, because you always come out ahead and you come out right when you agree with the Lord. And I try to make these things very simple and very understandable, to where when you read the Scriptures, it's very plain. And no confusion. That's the way the Lord. The Lord is not the author of confusion, okay? But in the world today, there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Ghost, and many cults deny that He's a person, and that He, and some of them even say that, many of the cults deny He is a person and that He is God. They say that the Holy Ghost is just a force, or that He's just an influence in the world. He's something floating out there, like we was talking about on our last study, and He makes contact with us every now and then, and if you call Him in a Ouija board or blah blah whatever. But and then on the other hand, we have this charismatic movement that's very big in the world today. It's just about swept today's religious world. It's all over the place, and there's some great giant congregations that come together in the name of this charismatic thing. But the funny thing about these great big gatherings and assemblies in the name of charismatic charisma and coming together is that you don't hear the Scriptures. You don't hear the Scriptures and what the Scriptures say. It's and we'll get into that as we go through this study, and you'll see. And I make it very plain and take it very slow and understand what the will of the Lord is and what the Bible teaches. But this charismatic movement is sweeping the world, today's religious world, and places an extreme emphasis on the Holy Spirit. But they're not. But that's a small H and a small S. That's not the person of the Holy Spirit. They put a great emphasis on the Holy Spirit, but they don't know what spirit they're talking about. Now, as we get into this study, you're going to find out that God the Holy Spirit is not the only spirit out there. The third person of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, is a person, and He's not the only spirit that exists in the world today. The charismatics, they teach such things as ecstatic utterances, and they believe in healings, and some of them even believe in exorcism and things like that. Well, is that what the Bible teaches? Is that what the Bible teaches? Does the Bible teach these things? If it does, fine. If it doesn't, we got a problem. Okay? And the reason that we're doing these studies is because we want to know the will of God, and we want to know the truth. I'm not interested in false things and deceitful things, and you shouldn't be either. The Bible tells us to abstain from those things and remove ourselves from the presence of foolishness, and for us to walk in truth. So, as with all these studies, our aim is to look beyond what men say and see what the Bible teaches. So that's what we're going to do. Now, our first category concerning God the Holy Ghost, and that is indeed His name. Now, the Bible does speak of God the Holy Spirit, but God the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Godhead's name. is called God the Holy Ghost, and you shouldn't be afraid to say His name like that, because that is indeed His name. Ghost, we're not afraid of ghosts. God the Holy Ghost is our God. God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But God the Holy Ghost is what He calls Himself, and we shouldn't be ashamed to say that. And the Scriptures use His name like that. And if you notice in the Bible, it uses it back and forth with the Spirit of God and God the Holy Ghost and God the Holy Spirit. And you'll see the Scriptures use that. But one thing that's going to come to enlighten you in this study, and we're not going to go real in-depth in it, is that God the Holy Ghost is a person, and His name is God the Holy Ghost. So the first thing we want to study today and to look at is, who is the Holy Ghost? Who is the Holy Ghost? Well, in Acts chapter 5, in verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God?" Now, here's Peter. He's reprimanding this church member named Ananias in the Scriptures, and you've probably read this and heard about what happened. Ananias and Sapphira were church members, a man and a woman, husband and wife, and they seen other members. This was in the very beginning of the church, when the church started. And the church was coming together. Some of the members were coming together, and they were selling their property and bringing the proceeds of their property and bringing it to the church and setting it at the apostles' feet and saying, "Do what you want to do with it." And they were distributing it and giving it out as the church members needed it, and they were taking care of one another. Well, the New Testament tells us how to give and how to receive and how to take care of our church members and the body of Christ and help each other out. And this was the very beginning, and this is how they did it in the very beginning. But in the New Testament, we see it as tithing. And we'll get into that in the letter T, I believe. But in this instance right here, Peter is reprimanding Ananias. And Ananias ends up getting killed. God kills him for this. He kills him immediately right there in front of the whole congregation. And He kills him for a reason. God doesn't kill him for selling his property and bringing the money and giving it to Peter and laying it at Peter's feet. He kills him for another reason. Now listen what the Bible says. "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie?" To who? To the Holy Ghost. To lie to the Holy Ghost. "And to keep back part of the price of the land." You see, Ananias brought the price in, brought the money in, laid it down, and said, "I sold my land, and here's the money." And Peter knew, the Holy Ghost told Peter that wasn't all the money, that Ananias was putting on a show, that he brought some of the money in, but he kept part of the money at home. And he lied in front of the whole congregation and lied to Peter. But the main person that he lied to, the Bible says, is that he lied to the Holy Ghost. He lied to the Holy Ghost. He said, Peter asked him, said, "While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power?" In other words, you could do what you wanted to do with it. He said, "Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." So according to that scripture right there, Ananias is said to have lied to who? He lied to the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 4, when we read that, the Bible called the Holy Ghost. Who did he say that the Holy Ghost was, and who did he say he lied to? He said, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Now, what we're talking about is, who is the Holy Ghost? Well, according to Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, what we just read in Ananias' situation, we hear Peter name the name of God the Holy Ghost, and then at the end of his speaking to Ananias, he said, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." So according to Peter, the Holy Ghost is God. Is God. Now, is that the truth that we can draw from this passage? Of course it is. The Bible says, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? He said, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." So Peter says that the Holy Ghost is God. Is God. So we don't have any doubt about that. Now, another thing. Who is the Holy Ghost? Well, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." Now, according to this verse tells us that the Holy Ghost is one with whom? He's one with the Father, and he is one with the Word. And the Word, of course, is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that by the Scriptures, don't we? But the Bible identifies God the Holy Ghost as being one with the Father and one with the Word, which is the Son. So who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is God, according to Peter. And the Holy Ghost is also part of the Godhead and part of the Trinity. The Bible says there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, singular. The Word, singular. And the Holy Ghost, singular. Three individual persons. And these three are one. So the Bible speaks of the Holy Ghost being God, and the Bible in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 says that God the Holy Ghost is identified. The verse tells us that the Holy Ghost is one with the Father and with the Son. Now, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore," you know this verse, "go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name," now listen, "baptizing them in the name of the," now notice the word "the." The word "the" means specific, particular, okay? "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Let's hear it again. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, in this verse right here, notice that the word "name," the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name," N-A-M-E. It's not plural, it's singular. It's singular. And then after that, it says, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." So see, the Bible is teaching us that the word "name" in there is singular, which again shows us that the Holy Ghost is God, the third person of the Trinity, the Godhead. You see, it individually named each one as an individual, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost, each individual command to baptize. Okay, well, we see that the Holy Ghost, who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is God, according to Peter. And then in 1 John, the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost is one with the Father and one with the Son, and these three are one. We see also that the Bible, when it speaks of God the Holy Ghost and of the Son and of the Father, it speaks of them in a singular manner, speaking of their names, each having their own individual name. The Father is not the Holy Ghost, the Son is not the Father, and the Son is not the Holy Ghost. They are three different individual persons, but they are one. You say, I don't understand that. Well, I don't completely understand it either, but that's what the Bible says. And when we get into the one of these other studies in here, we're going to study the Trinity. And we'll get into more of that, and you'll understand it. It is able to understand because we believe. And when we believe, you will understand it, I promise you. But it's not difficult, and the first ingredient is belief. And we believe what God says about himself, and we don't argue with him about it. We just believe it because that's what the Bible says. Okay, another thing, that who is the Holy Ghost? Another thing, in John chapter 14 and verse 16 and 17 and 26, here's what the Bible says. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, of course, we know who that was. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was speaking to the men and telling them about the coming of the Holy Ghost after his resurrection and his ascension, that he would send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. He would send him after the resurrection, and he would come and be the Comforter for the body of Christ, which he is now. He is our Comforter. But what we want to look at in this passage of Scripture is the personal pronouns. We want personal pronouns, you know, personal pronouns like the words he, like the words him, like the words himself, and those, which apply to the Holy Ghost that are in this verse. So let's take a look at it. I'm going to read it again, and I want you to count how many times the Scriptures personally identify God the Holy Ghost as a person in this Scripture. You ready? Here we go. John 14, 16, 17, and 26. Now, what we're talking about is who is the Holy Ghost? And I will pray the Father, and he, talking about the Father, right? And he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, I don't know if I made a mistake or something, but I counted right around six times that the Lord Jesus Christ personally identified him with personal pronouns as being a person. Didn't you? Okay. Isn't that wonderful? So you see what the Bible is teaching us? The Bible is teaching us that God the Holy Ghost is God himself. It's teaching us that the Holy Ghost is identified in the Scriptures with the Son, the Word, and with the Father, and that these three are one. And it's also identifies the Holy Ghost and the Father and the Son as singular individuals, and says for us to baptize in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Okay, and speaks of the Godhead. And the Holy Ghost is indeed, he's not lower as far as the Godhead. Now, when you picture the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, just figure you like you had a piece of paper, okay? And you draw you a line from left to right, and then draw you a line from top to bottom in the middle of that, and you got you a cross, okay? Well, the Godhead is not vertical, as in that line that's running from top to bottom. The Godhead does not run like that. Don't think of the Godhead like that. God, the Father being at the top of the line, God the Son being in the center right there, and then down at the bottom is God the Holy Ghost. That's not the way the Godhead goes. The Godhead goes horizontal, straight across. The Father on the left, the Son in the center, and God the Holy Ghost on the right there. And they're all equal with one another and all on the same level. And they're all three individuals and they're all three one, you see. But God the Father is not above God the Son. God the Son is not above God the Holy Ghost. They are all three one. Now, you say, well, how is that? Well, we're going to get into some more of that. They are three in one. They are all one, but they all have different offices as God, and they are individual in their offices, and we'll get into that. Okay, so we found out another thing in John chapter 14 there about the personal pronouns, and let me read one more to you. John chapter 16, verse 7, 8, 13, and 14. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." I don't know about you, but I think I counted around seven in that one. Personal pronouns. The Lord Jesus Christ was not ashamed to talk about God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost as being an individual. Now, if God the Holy Ghost was not an individual, why would the Lord be talking about he and him and himself and he's going to do this and he's going to do that? Why didn't the Lord just say, I am going to do it. I'm God and I'm going to do it. And he's talking about the Comforter. He's talking about the Spirit of Truth. He's talking about a person. He's talking about the third person of the Godhead, of the Trinity. He's talking about God the Holy Ghost. Okay, from this, would you say that the Spirit of Truth is a person? Or is it an impersonal force? Would you say that God the Holy Ghost is a person according to the Scriptures? What are the Scriptures teaching? Is God the Holy Ghost a person? I mean, if you was talking about an individual, if we were talking about somebody and you said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." If when we speak of each other and I speak of you and you speak of me and we don't use impersonal force words to describe each other, we put personal words in there. You say, well, when you're talking about Brother Thurman, well, he's going to go to the store and he's going to get us some milk and he's going to bring it home and I'm going to fit, you see? And that's how we use it when we talk about people and persons. And that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of God the Holy Ghost. So did Peter when he was reprimanding Ananias before God killed him. And also killed his wife, by the way, because she come in and lied too. That was Sapphira. And they didn't have to. They lied to the Holy Ghost and the Father. That's why we should be ever so careful about what we, the way we behave in our hearts and the way that we speak to the Holy Ghost that dwells in us when He's talking to us about things. We should not lie to Him because He is a person and He dwells in us. So from this, would you say that the Spirit of Truth is a person or an impersonal force? Well, you'd have to be kind of cuckoo and off your rocker to say, after all of that, that the Lord Jesus Christ being God and our Savior, after all of what He said, and after Peter addressing this thing, and after John talking about the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost and all that, and we just call Him an impersonal force and a ooh out there floating around. No, He's a person. He's a person. He is God. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, the Bible said, But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? And then in the Bible, in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, the Bible says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Now, if God the Holy Ghost is an impersonal force, what is this man talking about right here? What is this brother talking about? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. You don't have to resist a force or something that's not real. You resist people. You resist persons. God the Holy Ghost can be resisted, you see. And we know that by personal witness, don't we? I've resisted Him before, haven't you? Yes, if you told the truth. Okay, well, in Ephesians, the Bible says in chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, you don't grieve a force. You don't grieve an influence. You grieve a person. And persons, individuals, people that are alive, are the ones that are grieved. Jesus was grieved, remember? He grieved in His spirit, the Bible says. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, according to these three verses that we just got through reading, what are the three ways in which the Holy Ghost may be affected as a person? Well, in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, it said, Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost can be lied to. He can be lied to. I think it was Stephen that said this in Acts chapter 7, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can be resisted. Did you get that? You caught that, didn't you? And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So He can be grieved. Individuals and persons are the only ones that can be lied to, that can be resisted, and that can be grieved. Are you getting this? Isn't that good stuff? Okay, so there we go. Who is the Holy Ghost? What have we determined by the Scriptures? We've determined that He is God. We've determined that He is indeed a part of the Trinity. That He is a person that is the third person of the Godhead, equal with God the Father and God the Son. We have found out that that the Bible speaks of Him as being individual from the Father, an individual from the Son, by speaking of Him in a singular way. We've also seen that the Lord Jesus Christ used a lot of personal pronouns to identify Him in about, I don't know, what do we read, 5, 10 verses of Scripture there in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. Yes, we did. Okay, and then one other thing that the Bible identifies as these people, as Peter was speaking and as Stephen was speaking and as Paul was speaking, that we found out that the Holy Ghost can be grieved, that he can be resisted, and that he also can be lied to. Only people can be lied to. Only persons can be lied to. So we found that out about God the Holy Ghost and who he is. And isn't that good stuff? So we can believe these things because this is what the Bible says about God the Holy Ghost. So we'll stop right there. We've had a good beginning in this letter H in about God the Holy Ghost. And in our recordings to come, we're going to talk about what has God the Holy Ghost done in the past. We're going to talk about what is the work of God the Holy Ghost today. We're going to talk about what does the Holy Ghost do when we are saved. We're going to talk about what is the relationship between the Holy Ghost and me. And then we're going to get into some things about speaking in tongues and divine healing and things like that. And what does the Scripture say concerning these things? And you'll want to hear these things, and you're going to want to get these verses down so you'll know what's right and know what's wrong, and you'll know what is and what is not. And that's called doctrine. Doctrine is what is and what is not. And when it comes to final authority, and our Bible is our final authority, the Word of God. And we believe it, and we believe every word of it. And we believe it is indeed the words of God, and we believe that it's God's will. So when we read it and understand it, then we put it into action, don't we? And we not only just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. All right, well, we'll stop right there. I thank you so much for listening to this program, and God bless you for studying God's Word. Let me give you these scriptures right quick if you'd like to have them. I'm going to say them whether you want them or not, but I hope you'll write them down. I hope that you'll read over them and that you'll nail these things down that we've already talked about. All right, here's the first one. Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. John chapter 14, verse 16, verse 17, and verse 26. John chapter 16, verse 7, verse 8, verse 13, and verse 14. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Acts chapter 7, verse 51, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And that'll conclude our lesson for today on God the Holy Ghost, the letter H, our study number 8 in the ABCs of Christian Growth. If you'd like to have these in written form, you can email me at ilovewmrforever@gmail.com. You can email me there, and I will send these things in. I can send them in a PDF, or I can send them in. Pictures, JPEG, and either way you want them, and you can print them, and you can have them there, or I'll mail them to you. Just let me know something if you want them. If you don't, that's fine. We'll just keep on just enjoying God's Word and fellowshipping with one another. And being comforted by God the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12. We're not to fear. We are to be confident in the Lord and be confident in his word. And to love him with all our hearts, all our souls, all our mind, and all our strength. And until our next recording, the Lord bless you and bless your family. And I hope you have a wonderful afternoon or whatever's the rest of your day. And rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Bye-bye.